Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the Mission Zach podcast, which still feels really bizarre to say, but without saying that actor's name. But you know what I mean.
Yeah,
okay. Cool. My name's Mish and I'm one of the hosts of this podcast and we can't wait to have a chat with you. I'm not good at this intro yet.
I haven't got
it down pat. I'm Mish. You might know me from the stunning run I just did at Sydney Comedy Festival. My God.
Wow.
That 40% capacity really fucking did good.
Yeah. Isn't it so sick when the biggest comedy festival in the world, Just for Laughs, cancels but a few months before our local festivals cancel, and everyone's like, I'm sure that's not a sign of anything.
Not at all.
The canary in the gold mine, I'm sure that died of different causes.
100%.
It's Just for Laughs cancelled.
Yeah, the whole thing is cancelled. Apparently the Netflix Netflix is a joke. Apparently that's half empty too. Wow. Sure, that has nothing to do with the state of anything.
Absolutely
at the moment.
Not.
I love
of course
comedy.
Not.
Scary.
I'm joined as always by my friend Zach, who you might know from.
Not having my ear to the ground on the state of live comedy. So that's a bit of a worry. I maybe should be a little more engaged.
No, don't stress. You don't need to
don't
be.
Worry.
You
do. It's not like that's my whole fucking life.
Nah. No, but you're an opera house boy now.
Yeah, but
opera house boys don't need to worry about
an opera house. Well, I did a 5-minute set at the opera house, but yeah. but a half sold opera house, you're losing a lot more money.
That's true. That's a very good point. This week we're joined by one of our favourites over here.
Yep.
There, a bloody comedian, an actor. You're not a radio presenter anymore, but I can say that.
No, yeah, people might know me from that.
From the skills, it's Jen Fricker.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here.
Just as bringer of doom and gloom. The conversation before we got started was pretty heavy and then I've just instantly come in with like, the state of the industry is fucked.
Every time we come to Sydney, we always do a pod with Jen.
Yeah.
Because we're in Sydney.
We are in Sydney, which is a bit of fun. Just a reminder to anyone who loves Leguizamarama, the podcast that we do every week, we're still having fun with that, but this is the second time that we have split the episodes.
So Leguizamarama will be coming out on Thursday, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, and we will be announcing what we're watching at the end of this episode. But this is the chit-chat section of the episode. So in the past,
yep.
Jen, when you came on to talk about something starring John Leguizamo, we talked, I think, for upwards of an hour about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
And then we did, I think, maybe 8 minutes on John Leguizamo. So if anything, this new format gives more John Leguizamo content than previous.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would say so. I'd like to premise our chat with something very particular. Tom organised, who's here with us today.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hi.
Tom organised this wonderful space and did this whole setup for this podcast and we've organised all the times perfectly for us to be able to record a couple of podcasts here today. And then 10 minutes before we hit record, I ordered an Uber Eats.
I love it.
Yeah, which I also did last time we did this.
That's what I was going to say. It's our thing.
And it wouldn't surprise me if it's from the same place. It's from a delicious bagel place called Lox in a Box.
I love Lox in a Box. Yes.
So
Jen is, we're recording two podcasts today showing you how the sausage is made.
Mm.
But we're also getting Alexi Toliopoulos in
gorgeous
today.
Gorgeous, oh, boy.
And you two are my two go-tos for where's good to eat in Sydney.
Well, Alexi's the guy, I think. Because he's friends with more chefs than I am. And so he's always there plus one. And then he passes that knowledge to me.
Do you know what's funny? If I had lived in Sydney and spent my late 20s in Sydney, I probably would have fucked some of Alexi's friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mish, as the listener knows, Mish has fucked a lot of chefs.
We talked about this last time too.
Yeah.
They're so hot. Unfortunately, they're hot.
No, it's you. You said it's chef dick and it changed my life. The first time I met Jen was actually doing this podcast, was doing Borderline.
Oh, well, I remember that.
Which is crazy
during lockdown.
Again, I feel like I've known you for so long.
Because this is me being honest. After the pandemic, right, it really filtered out a lot of the people that I spoke to a lot, like regularly, and there's just like, I just, there's a very small group of people that I speak to regularly, and I send Jen and you, Zach, more messages than I send anybody, because all we do is send each other filthy TikToks.
Can I actually, I don't have a filthy one, but I did find a TikTok that I feel like will point to maybe what we're going to talk about later, but also I feel like you guys will really enjoy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, please.
And it works audio-wise too.
Yeah,
I think. Great.
Let me find it. I pulled it up this morning. So, except I turned my damn Wi-Fi off.
While you're finding it, I'll explain that when we first met, I mentioned, I think probably for the first time on this podcast, that I dated chefs. And Jen just goes, oh, it's because of Chef Dick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, oh, chefs have Chef Dick. And like, unless you have been with chefs, you don't understand what that means.
Well, I've never been with a chef.
You're simply a hunk of meat.
Yeah.
To be consumed.
But a chef is not a butcher. A chef knows how to treat a hunk of meat.
Exactly.
That's exactly right.
Exactly.
I think a butcher would probably be similar to like a gym bro.
Mm.
Like, honestly, similar vibe.
Yeah.
Whereas
and
a
definitely
chef,
more dehumanizing.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
Whereas a chef, it's just, it's a different thing. It's the most powerful of dicks.
Chefs are a masculine, strong, rough, a little bit unhinged, but they know the importance of beauty.
But do you know as well, I feel like you, in that insight, I think you predicted how feral people were going to go for the guy from The Bear.
Oh, yeah.
I think you tapped on something that the culture wasn't ready for, well, and then when the culture caught up.
When I watched The Bear.
On a few.
Oh, I was tapping. When I watched The Bear, I watched it with yes, of course.
Mm.
Whereas everyone else was like, oh my God, this man is the most attractive. What is it about him? Oh my God, I don't even know. And that's the thing. It's like the man is about 5'8". Not that, he's not traditionally attractive, but all of a sudden everyone's like, why am I so attracted to him? I'm like, it's the chef thing.
I do also love though the they're so funny looking. Like the Pete Davidson gets it a lot. They're so funny looking. What about it is them? And it's like, if you saw Pete Davidson in person, he's fit, he's got a strong jaw.
He's dressed well, groomed well.
He like has a lot of really nice. If you saw him in person, there is no part of you that would say he's funny looking. Maybe he's funny looking compared to Brad Pitt.
Yeah, of course.
But in person you would go, that is an attractive man.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing complicated or interesting about him.
It's also just an aura of like, oh, this person has like stuff to do.
Yeah.
So many men really don't give you that energy where it's like they're like, I just hang out with my mates, and you're like, okay, but what's your passion, what's your drive, what do you get up and do? And they're like, I just love going to pubs, and I love drinking. And you're like, oh, okay, this country is cursed and has ruined a generation, man.
This interests me. What is an industry that you've never dated, slept with? Because if I think about it, I've never gone on a date, I've never had a proper conversation romantically with anyone in politics. And I just, I wonder.
Okay.
You have, haven't you?
Yeah.
Do you fuck a poly?
Well, he was an Obama staffer.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's fun.
No, but that's the trick. That is the trick where you're like, oh, okay, so this person, that's probably right on.
No.
And it was some of the shittest dates I've ever, he's a nice person. I don't think he listens to this podcast, but he is kind of.
We got a lot of Obama staffers. Out of our three listeners.
Well, he's friends with a lot of comedians, which is how.
Yeah, right.
Because everyone was like, well, he's got a job and like he's not a comedian. You should date him. And I just remember we went to a screening of Jaws. It was at Golden Age. And Golden Age used to do this thing where they'd do a screening of a film and the ticket price would be the same ticket price as the year that film came out.
Wow,
so we paid like $2.50 or something. Like
amazing.
It was crazy. But he just talked through the whole thing.
Oh no.
And
oh,
was like da 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 da, like would, and I just remember not asking a single question. Not a single question.
Yeah.
And it just from I remember it so distinctly, like I joined him, I met him in the line to go into Jaws because I was running a bit late. Through the whole film he's talking, like yappity yappity. People are like telling him to shut up. He's like, oh, yeah, no worries. So just he talks a bit more quietly.
Is he American?
Oh. No, Australian, which is worse. Again, I think it's like he moved to the States to like be like part of like a writer or something over there. But that's another red flag. He was involved in student politics at the university that I was on. But I never engaged with that. So I was never like, aware of how psycho those people are.
Oh, yeah. I knew someone who was involved in, who wasn't involved in student politics, studied politics at university, and they were the least political person I'd ever met. They voted, but they never talked about politics. And the reason was they were just like, because they went to University of Melbourne, so like they basically met the future politicians. They met the people that would one day be running our country, and they were just like, oh, they're all such terrible people.
Yeah.
I'm not going to engage. I'm going to like vote for who I think is closest, but I'm not going to engage with these people at all.
It's just like, yeah. I feel bad because obviously what like the background to our conversation right now is there's like a huge political stuff happening at campuses across the world. So I don't want to like diminish those people at all, but it's more just like people who see themselves as a politician and not for a cause, and if that makes sense.
Yeah, and the goal being I want to be a politician.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the, it's the,
I want to wield power.
Yes. Mm. And it's like in what area and why, or is it just because you want to be in political spaces?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, if you want
to proximity
do,
to power.
Like being a politician should be the path, not the destination.
Yes.
To be like, I want to change the world, and I think the best way I can do it is to be a politician. But 99% of them just want to be a politician.
Yes. Oh, yeah,
I don't really. I remember.
It's like a Malcolm Turnbull used to be a Labour Party member.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then in like the 80s, switched to the Liberal Party. And it's literally because he got richer. Like, he was working in banking and he became a Liberal Party member. And now everyone's like, oh, he's so cool. He wears leather jackets. And, like, after he's not Prime Minister anymore, he's like, I would have let Aboriginal people have a treaty. And it's like, can't, you were the Prime Minister.
You literally.
You could have done it.
The guy like, you were in the literally position. Came to Parliament House when you were Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Like, you were the guy that said no to
That's
them the
why
first
you
time.
You can't trust him. You can't trust him.
Yeah, that was so strange.
That was crazy. He's on Twitter all day being like, he's like J.K. Rowling, but politics. Where it's like, you know how J.K. Rowling, as well as being awful,
oh, yeah,
but she was always like Gryffindor, like, what's his name? Hagrid was actually a Virgo. Like, she's always like rewriting fucking, like, it, like, I feel like that's where the TERF stuff started. It's like she just started like adding detail to the world where you're like, oh, okay, I didn't really think about what his star sign is. And then she's like, and those goblins,
all probably check out.
Yeah, they're poly.
The goblins
poly. Hey, little update. My bagel and Arnold Palmer and your coffees are 3 minutes
what
away.
What bagel did you get?
A veggie bagel.
Yum.
Yeah, veggie bagel. I swapped out the cream cheese for a vegan chive cream cheese.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's good.
I think it's what I had last time I was here.
I'm simply I love bagels so
Do you want to
so
take this
much?
With you? Tom's there's, gone to collect
There's
my
two
food.
In the vicinity.
Just keep it awake because
this
otherwise
is the next
on.
Level. The last time I got an Uber. We started late because I got an Uber to Alexi's house to borrow his podcast
That's
equipment.
Right, I remember this.
And then I got back and exactly the same thing happened. Mish was like, oh, I haven't eaten. And I said, well, it's going to be like 4 hours of doing podcasts.
Yeah.
You should get something.
Yeah, you think I would have learnt.
And then the only difference was Mish went and got her food while I was trying to do
the
recording, whereas now we have a Tom.
Yeah. And Tom runs our errands.
Who's gone and gotten us some food, and
it's
I feel
so
really
funny.
Bad about
he's
that.
He's such a talented... Let's talk about Tom while he's not here. Such
what
a
talent.
Talented individual and very humble.
Very
oh, he's
humble.
Lovely. Yeah. We're so lucky to have him.
Works like, fast as well. This is the thing that people don't realise. You know, music, particularly music that you make on a computer, takes time for almost anyone. But with Tom, you just go, can I get this to play with?
Mm.
And he will do a version of that that you can play with. And he works as fast as your mind, like nearly as fast as your mind and your comedy.
It's so good. I watched him set this up. Right. So literally I did nothing to help.
Yeah.
We're in a theatre space at the moment, and he did the whole podcast set up for three people with headphones and a working thing and him.
Yeah.
And I just watched him do it, and he did it all so quickly, and it was so impressive.
Wow.
Because if someone had said, you need to set this up, Mish, I would have had a full-on mental breakdown.
Yeah, yeah, I only know how to do my thing at home, and that's it.
Mm.
And I cannot – and I worked in broadcast radio for 6 years.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it works. I know on.
Yeah, I know how to go on.
Up. down.
I'm still very much interested, though, in if the areas in which you've never dated before.
Oh yes,
What industries as something that you've never dated? It's I'm not a fan of real estate agents, but I did go on. I went on two dates with a real estate agent.
Well,
did
let's you? Let's
it was gross. I was very lonely, Jen.
We all do it.
Let's go to an ad break.
Okay.
And then when we come back, let's talk about who we haven't dated.
Who we haven't fucked. Short list.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hi, welcome back. Who haven't we fucked?
I'm trying to remember.
It's such a broad category. Yeah. Who haven't?
Well, no, but is there an industry that's really fascinating? Like I said, politicians. I've never.
Yeah, no, I've never hooked up with a politician.
I've never, never have I ever hooked up with someone who works in administration.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because everyone I know is a fucking creative or on the industry side of. Mm. Management or whatever the fuck.
Oh, when you're deep in the apps, when you're 28, you come across a lot of people in admin.
In
all right,
jobs.
So that all being said then, fuck, marry, kill,
yeah.
Chef, politician, and office manager.
Oh, God.
Fuck, chef. Mm-hmm.
Of course you do. Who doesn't choose to
marry office manager.
Yeah.
Yep.
And kill politicians.
Kill all of them, I reckon.
Yeah. I want to kill them anyway.
I hope the AFP's listening.
I think it would be fascinating to have sex with a politician.
I think they would be quite selfish lovers, most of them.
Probably.
I think most of them would be...
maybe that's why one of the reasons chefs are so good, because their jobs is to make things for other people.
I think that's it. They know how to consume and they know how to make to be consumed.
They're aggressively selfless.
Mm. Yeah. That's hot.
That's so hot.
I find chefs really fascinating. I think the thing I really love about chefs is the fact that it's so masculine and it's so intense and it's such a toxic culture. It's such a toxic work culture for a very beautiful, pretty product for rich people.
That requires so much
and
finesse.
And so detached from the final product. Mm. The product being eaten rather than, like, because as soon as that, as the wonderful people of the Bear have shown us, as soon as that door slams from the what do they call it? The entry?
Whatever. I haven't seen the Bear.
Like, and you walk out into the peaceful surrounds of a restaurant, it's like it's such a different world.
Yeah.
You would think we were covering Chef in the second half of the
No, we're not. We don't give it away.
I won't. But can I rule stuff out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's no,
chef.
We're
just talking about chef dick because it came up naturally.
Every time I'm with you, we talk about chef dick.
We do.
Yeah.
Because it's one of.
But no, you changed my life.
Thank you.
You changed my life because I was so confused. I was at that point in my life in 2020. I was so confused.
It's
about why these men had come in and out of my life, and then it was like, this is why, and I'm like, oh my God.
Horny, intense, freaky men.
Oh,
Tom's just walked in with a bag of bagels.
Yum.
This is my fault. I was the
Thank
one.
Thank you,
that,
Tom.
Well, Mish should have eaten beforehand or made a plan, but then I take full responsibility for saying, well, you
I'm
should get
so
something.
I'm so excited for you guys, honestly.
Did you want a coffee?
Nah, it's okay. I can get one later.
No, go on.
No. Please, no.
I got
no, because I get all mouthy. You know, you drink drinks with milk in them. This is a radio thing. You drink milk drinks and then you get very like nyam, 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 nyam.
It's a theatre thing as well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I shan't. Also, I'm on this new meds and it's really rocking with my tum-tum.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not even Zempies either. I'm not even going to get skinny from it. I'm just shitting for fun.
I took a medication that everyone was like, well, on the bright side, you'll get skinny from it. And I put on weight from it.
This is what I'm saying. This is like the doctor's like, oh, you're going to lose at least 3% of your body fat. I'm like, from where?
That's so funny.
I have my brain?
I have this esophageal condition, right, called achalasia. It's a very rare condition where you can't properly swallow. Mm. And I've had to have surgery to fix it up and stuff, and it's fine. But before I'd had the surgery, literally you wouldn't be able to consume stuff without like pushing it down with a bunch of water.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. And it's really rare. And you read all these, like, it's like people get to like 30, 40 kilos on this because it's like you can't eat. And it's like, I just forced it in. I didn't lose shit. I literally was just like, I'm getting that food into my stomach.
Yeah.
So I was fine.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of people that are like, you lose your appetite. And it's like, if you think I'm eating because of my appetite. Yeah.
You're crazy. I'm mentally unwell.
Yeah. I'm eating because I had a bad day, you cunt.
I'm eating to dull the pain.
Yes. Oh, well, Mish, you have no food intolerances. No. I'm intolerant. I'm shitting myself all the time. I just keep eating that stuff because I'm sad. What do you mean?
This is a corner of comfort in a world that hates me.
Yeah, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
That bagel smells sick.
Yeah.
They gave me something called an Arnold Palmer.
Like a tea or something?
It's an iced tea mixed with a lemonade.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
Damn.
That sounds good.
It'll be like an American lemonade, I think, not a Sprite. They call it Sprite in America.
They don't call it lemonade.
No, lemonade is like what you serve, like, you know, when we think traditional lemonade, non-fizzy, that's what they call lemonade. And then what we call lemonade, they call Sprite.
Soda. Mm-hmm.
Soda. I was going to say there was something that you said, Jen, that made me think of something, which was when you said that when you were talking about this guy you dated that was talking during the movie, and Mish asked if he was American and you said he was Australian. It made me think of a thing, which is, I don't trust British people that are successful in America.
Mm. I don't trust them at all. And I don't know why, but it's
the James Corden effect.
But I'll tell you what it is. What it is those cultures are so opposite. If you can succeed in the other, it's like they're wearing the skin of a British man.
Yes, yes.
They're just like, I don't like talking to people in an elevator. Yes. It's like, yes, you do.
You love it. Yeah. You know us British, we love lions. It's like, you literally ran a cat over on your way to the studio. You're a bad person.
Oh, my. I have to get out of the party as soon as possible. Like, they're at the party telling all the people, looking over your shoulder, looking for who to network with, telling them how much they hate talking to people at parties.
That's so funny.
No, it's all of them. I just look at them and I go, you shouldn't be there. Yeah. You shouldn't be on that show.
Fuck. You really nailed it. It's so true.
That is 100% correct.
Because they've defied their own cultural norms in search of idolatry.
Well, it's it's kind of like that politician thing before. It's like, you don't care what you have to sacrifice about what you believe and who you are to succeed in the industry you've chosen.
But then there are certain British people that completely shake their Britishness. Like, I think, who's that little one from Stranger Things, the girl?
Oh, Millie Bobby Brown.
Millie Bobby Brown.
And she's literally marrying Bon Jovi's son, which is the most American thing you can do.
She's an American.
You can't get more American than fucking a Bon Jovi.
She's an American, right? She's fine. Even like, but it's the ones that like, it's like they keep the trappings, the trimmings of a British person. Mm. They talk of the Britishisms.
David Beckham. Because he has a football team in Miami. He's the most British person. And even when he was in the 90s playing for like England and stuff like that, he's the first guy doing frosted tips. He was the first guy like dating pop stars. Like he took it to an American place and then the Americans ate it up. And then now, what do we think about Meghan Markle and Prince Harry then on that tip? Because that's I'm pro both. I feel like they were exiled more than they like and I feel like, I would say
it was one of those dramas that happens that I was just like, I'm choosing to not take this one in.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I have no investment in either party. I don't care either way. Mm. Like I don't care if they were ostracized or if they picked up and left on their own accord. I don't care. Like, it was just, it didn't faze me. They all are so rich.
Yeah.
Like, you're so rich and, like, you're fine.
I think a lot about, do you know what? It's funny because we talked a lot about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills when you were on the first time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good thing to point to for me, which is what I love about that show is there's no good guys or bad guys. Mm-hmm. Everyone's grey. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing with Meghan Markle and Prince Harry especially. There's this like, oh, are they the victims or are they like... it's like maybe both. Maybe
families are complicated.
Yeah. Maybe they are really, really wealthy and out of touch and they've had a shitty time experience with a racist family. And like maybe both are true.
100%.
That's the thing with the royals that I find so fascinating is that like they're so privileged and they're so like they've got so much like evil and colonialism behind them. But fucked if I would ever want to be a royal.
There is There is no amount of training for the army that will make you in any way be able to relate to the everyday person if you're a royal. There is just no way.
Yeah.
No.
They put them into these look, we did all the right training with everybody else. It's like that doesn't mean anything.
The so army, famously full of real well adjusted individuals. Yeah. Like what the fuck?
I rewatched the Prince Andrew interview the other day.
Did you watch Me Scoop too. As well?
Have no, I want to watch it.
I would say miss it if you've recently watched the Andrew interview because I think the Andrew interview is better.
Well, actually what I, when I saw the movie, I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, or I could just watch the interview again. Yeah. And I did.
Yeah.
It is some of the most delicious television I've ever seen.
The bit, and I mean, she's since talked about it in interviews, the interviewer, but the bit where she goes, you had a party with her and him, and he's like, no, I didn't. Oh, a shooting weekend.
Yeah. Well, it was not a party. It was under 200 people.
Yeah. It was a shooting weekend. Yeah. It's just the most, like, mind-blowing moment.
What about when he was like, I didn't sweat. I couldn't sweat. I can now, but there was a period in my life where I was unable to sweat.
Yeah.
It's like, that is...
That's like because he was in the Falklands War and so he had a hyper-sweating attack and now he cannot sweat anymore.
Hey, does that mean that we're now saying we're playing What's Something Fun We Watched This Week?
I guess so. I think I was just talking about how out of touch Prince Andrew was. You get a real taste of a man who's never been in.
And I remember you put me onto it, the film The Queen. You told me about it.
I love The Queen.
And then that same guy who wrote that wrote the first season of The Crown. And it's like, that is really interesting to see how these insular group of people have been forced to interact with culture. Like, been forced to interact with the country that they're fucking running. And it's so interesting, like, the amount of tension they, and I would say almost contempt, they have for being held accountable by the people that they're meant to be representing.
Absolutely.
It's so wild. And I only got that from, you recommending The Queen.
It's the something The Crown, when it's good, sometimes it's wonky, but when The Crown is good, it gets it so perfectly, which is that tension between... these are people that are like trapped, that are absolutely imprisoned by this strange system. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's a horrible, weird thing we've done to this family where they have no power, but we force them. But they're also the most privileged people in the history of the planet.
Oh, absolutely.
Like they're both, and it's really fucking strange.
Yeah.
Like,
it's just remarkable to me who the fuck told Andrew to do that. You know what I mean? Like, was it just all off his own back?
Well, you're just surrounded by enablers. That's the thing. When you're at that level of power, I remember seeing that about Kanye once, is that it hit a point where it was actually, they talk about a lot of what went wrong with Kanye was when his mother died, because that was the one person that through it all, regardless of, she could say, you're unwell, you need, like, she
hold
was
him accountable.
She could hold him accountable. And then as soon as she died, it was all people he could fire.
Yeah.
And as soon as it's people you can fire, you no longer can be held accountable because no one's going to hold you accountable if you can fire them. And it's like, and I think that's the thing with the royals is they're just surrounded by enablers. They're also probably surrounded by people that are equally out of touch. Like if you're a royal staffer, it's not like you're a normal person.
Or like
either.
The butlers and stuff. I'm like, who aspires to this? Who aspires to a life of serving rich people?
I think that about like celebrities when they come under fire, like when Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis recently came under fire,
so
then they posted that video and in like a dark corner of their mansion,
looking for the most like the one the least suspicious wall.
Yeah.
You know they walked around.
And one that they, you can't get a reflection onto their gorgeous. Just
absolutely. Yeah. Like, there was this amazing photo that came out where it was like, this is where they sat. Mm. And it was against the wall of their pool house, which is huge. It's about three times the size of my fucking house. Yeah. It looks over a pool next to a house that's all glass windows. Oh, it's stunning. But like, I just wonder, like, they released that video and then they copped a fuck ton of shit for it because everyone was just like, you're really out of touch. But they would just be able to be surrounded by people being like, oh, they're coming for me again.
Yeah.
How annoying. Ugh.
You
anyway.
See it, you watch it. Like, if you ever watch the Kardashians new show, they are each now surrounded by this cluster of anonymous people that laugh at all of their jokes, that tell them everything they're doing is smart. Mm. And it's just like, and I mean, you could try to surround yourself by people that don't do that, but it would be really, really hard to do.
And also, you wouldn't like it. Like, you just wouldn't. Your brain gets wired to a point where you're just like I've been working with this like person who used to be, I would say, like, insanely famous, and then they have had a bit of a career slump, right? But they still have the attitude. They've been famous since they were like probably late teens, but they still have the attitude. Is this? I don't even know if I should be saying this.
No, that's okay.
Maybe cut out some details. But anyway, I've been working with this person who I would say has been famous the majority of their life, and they've kind of lost the trappings of that, but still have the mentality of that. So every time they receive criticism, they're like, wow, people just don't want to hear the truth.
It's the reality.
And like, yeah.
It's a reality television star thing as well. I met a guy once who won Big Brother, and it was so long ago, and yet he mentions it in news circles within 30 seconds of being in those news circles that he won that show, and he still has the mentality of a winner of a reality show that was big 15 years ago. Anyway.
Do you know what scares me? And then we should do what we watch this week. What scares me is, like, at what point does telling people about the exciting famous people you've met at your job become name dropping? Like, at what point in your career are you name dropping? Because it's like the first few famous people you meet, you're like, oh my God, I met this person.
Yeah.
And then it's like, no, I think now it's like, it's at a point you've got to stop saying the famous people.
Yeah.
I don't know. The more famous people I meet, the more I'm like, oh, it's nothing. It's just nothing, like, to them.
No, do you know all. What?
That terrifies me. Yeah. The idea that you can chase a dream your entire life and then it just doesn't
make
you happy.
I've said this on the podcast before. I could meet the most famous people in the world. It wouldn't buzz me. The only thing, the only people that freak me out is if they were involved in something that I really loved between the age of 10 and 13. So I could meet I could meet Ariana Grande and be like, hi, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Fine. If it's Dave Callan or Rove, I'm going to be like, oh, hi.
Yeah. No, 100%. I 100% agree. I recently met one of my favorite comedians from when I was young, like in my early teens. And I've been in rooms full of comedians for a long time now, and I'm not fazed.
Yeah.
But I could not hold a conversation with her without being like,
yeah,
I'm such a big fan.
I've now been in a room twice with, oh, here's a name drop.
I love it. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
But I've now been in a room twice with Eric Idle, and I have not talked to him both times. I've said hello. I've shook his hand. I've said, hi, thanks for coming to the show, and then walked away. And I've had friends that have gone and had massive conversations with him. But I'm just like,
Nah.
Because what, like, best case scenario, I can say I had a conversation with him. I can tell you that he was in the room. That's good. Worst case scenario, I'm weird. And then suddenly, because I've had those moments where it's like I've met someone that made something I really loved and it's been a bit of a clunky interaction.
Yeah.
And then suddenly that whole thing is then tainted with that clunky interaction, you know?
Yeah. I had I was in the same room as Conan once.
Oh, wow.
And it was one of those things where everything about his work and his persona kind of gives you the idea that you probably could just have a chat with him and he would be very kind and very nice and graceful. But I was also like, I don't want that. I don't want him. I just couldn't.
Yeah.
But then what happened was, it was like at the after party for his Sydney show, and it was so weird. They like just put him on a chair with like a velvet rope behind the velvet rope, and then the rest of the party on the other side.
That's weird.
So it was almost like he was on like a viewing platform that he would go. And again, I don't think that was his
This is the choice. Other thing you
like
learn.
I think other people have projected, like, the celebrity wants to be left alone, but it's like you've literally put him in the corner. Like you've put him in the corner and no one can talk to him
now. Yeah, that's bizarre.
It's so weird.
Yeah, a lot of those, I used to think that I used to think when I worked at the cinema and there were premieres, I used to be like, that person's an asshole. Mm. You know, like I'm not allowed to make eye contact with them. I have to leave the room. Mm. They have to be like taken all these weird ways. What a cunt. And then I've now been in enough situations just, right, where I've had stuff like that be done for me.
Yeah.
And I've gone, oh, okay. It's not that they're an asshole. It's like that people do this shit for, well, they think that's what they want, you know?
Luke McGregor told me this, like, he found out his management were telling all of, like, he was doing, like, a charity gig.
Oh, no.
He was doing a charity gig, and so, like, obviously he's not taking money for the charity gig, but, like, they cover his travel costs in the com and stuff like that. He was, like, flying business class to, like, from Sydney to Brisbane or something. We were on the same flight, and he's like, I hope my team haven't demanded that I be put in business class for this, like, 2-hour flight on Virgin for a charity event. He's like, I'm really worried that someone said the only way Mr. McGregor flies is in business class. And they're like, oh, yeah, okay, we're a charity, but I what guess we're like – and he was – and that's the most Luke problem, I think, to have too, because he was sitting there so anxious.
Oh, I want to be in the position where someone's like, the only way Mish flies is with business.
Yeah.
I'd love to be in that position.
But he was just like, I just hope this charity
– yeah, no, not like, for a charity event.
I hope these people – this charity people just had business tickets.
I reckon let's save what's something fun we watch this week for the next episode.
No, I think we can do it right now.
I think we've run out of time.
We're well over.
Okay.
You could just make the next one shorter.
Yeah, no, I think we'll do it now. Yeah, we will. Trust
okay.
Me. Yeah. Let's do a little, we're going to close out this episode with what have we watched this week?
What's something fun we watched this week?
Okay.
I forgot I had a mic. What's something fun we watched this week?
So something fun I watched this week was the latest season of Is It Cake? And talking about people who you would feel intimidated by, like people who were important to you from your childhood. It's very funny because they've got all these comedians coming through to be guest judges on Is It Cake? And they're all like, my kids love this show. And I kept thinking like, oh man, yeah. First of all, I love the show. But if my parent was going to be on that, I'd be like, this is the fucking coolest thing you've ever done.
Yeah.
Bring me back the head of this dragon that's also a cake, if you could. You know what I mean? I just was like, oh, that's nice. Just proper magical fun inner child stuff.
Have you seen the clip of Gabourey Sidibe sitting on a chair that's made of cake?
Yes.
Next to Johnny Knoxville, I think. They brought her on for an interview, a whole prank thing set up with a chair, and she just sits down and 2 seconds later just goes, bitch, is this cake?
And then just grabs like a chunk out of the armrest.
It's so good. All right, so something fun I watched this week was only 2-3 days ago. I was in Sydney. I was at my Airbnb and my first night on tour, this isn't really a tour, but my first night in a new city, I always get so excited and I order too much food and I watch a movie from my Airbnb.
Gorgeous.
And I was like, I just want something trash. And I found something called The Craigslist Killer on Netflix based on a true story.
Oh, wow.
It's so good. So it's got an M rating, right? So it's not any higher than an M. And it's a true story about an American medical student who was very, very good looking, had a perfect little wife and a perfect life and whatever. But he liked to kill sex workers, tie them up and kill sex workers.
Oh, yeah.
But so, yeah, just a lighthearted thing.
Yeah.
But because it's an
And you're alone in your Airbnb being like,
I love this stuff, right? But so I was like, oh, this could be fun. But it's so poorly made. It's almost like a midday movie around those themes.
Oh,
so they
better.
Tackle them so lightly.
Oh,
it's
wow.
It's so – no one in it – there's no names. Mm. Everyone has – no one knows any of these actors. They tackle these serious issues so gently and lightly because they have to keep to an M rating. They want to appeal to, like, I don't know, Netflix audiences, but it's just bizarre. There's nothing scary about it at all. I felt completely unaffected despite the heavy, heavy subject matter.
Wow.
Craigslist Killer, bizarre.
My one would be I would just watch Late Night with the Devil.
Oh, how was?
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's for anyone who doesn't know, it's about it's basically the bulk of the show with some behind the scenes stuff in ad breaks and an intro. The bulk of the show is pitched as a lost recording of a live Tonight Show from the US in the 70s where they bring in occult people and it's essentially a horror. And it's so much fun. It's one of those ones which I love, where it's like, I can see that they just, it didn't get noted to death. Like, I can see how if it was on TV, like the TV people would have been like, why is this happening? And how does this work? And what's this? And what's that? Whereas this just feels like rough and ready and like it's got this like rawness to it. And it's an Australian film, which is really
cool. Yeah,
two Australian directors. It was filmed just before Coffee Cafe, actually, in the same studio at Docklands.
Really?
It was filmed in a little studio. And the lead, I always struggle with his name, so I'm going to read it out.
Oh, David Dasmalchian?
Okay, thank God.
Oh, wow.
Because I struggle with that.
No, because you know what? I have my stable of freaky little guys.
Yeah,
he's one of them. Riley, what's his name? Barry Keoghan.
Barry Keoghan is one of them.
But now I feel like he's not a freaky little guy anymore. He's like a mainstream. Daniel pops out very mainstream now. Who's the other one? Paul Dano. He's in the roster of like freaky little guys, small face guys.
Yeah, we love freaky little. Well, all their features are in the center of their face.
But
yeah.
David Dasmalchian. This is the first time I've seen him doing a lead, I think, because he is like a supporting actor in everything and he is so good as a lead. He just nails this and it's such a thrill to see an actor like him getting like a whole film to play with. It's really fun and I'd recommend it.
Great.
Nice.
On that happy note, we should announce what our next episode is going to be about. So on Thursday, drum roll. Oh, what did we watch? We watched Encanto. Now, before any of you come at us with like, didn't you already fucking watch that? We didn't just watch Encanto, bitch. We watched Encanto Sing Along.
Available on Disney Plus if you want to watch before you listen to the episode.
But it has to be the Sing Along episode. Or else you're just watching the thing we watched a year ago.
Next episode, we will be talking about Encanto Sing Along.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.